I'm not sure about, OpenStack per se, because I know that ONAP has an information model, which is kind of one level on top of OpenStack, right? So it's very similar to
I know.
OpenStack, but it has some freedom, degree of freedom from OpenStack.
So Srini, are you, I'm sorry, Srini, are you asking whether or not the current Cloud Resource API is sufficient to access all of the capabilities of an Azure, of a VNF in an Azure cloud?
Yes, that's my question. Yeah, that was my question. Yeah.
I don't think we did that analysis.
Okay.
Go ahead, Avi. Go ahead.
So the answer is, again, the proposal is actually to allow any VNF running on Azure, not only the one that you can model using according to your question, OpenStack model, right? So so this is where
I don't know
this
what that means,
solution.
though, right? I don't know what the question means in terms of modeling OpenStack versus Azure, right?
I think
So if
it's
you,
more of what are the parameters being used.
but no, I
I
mean
think,
the
like for
object,
example,
sorry.
I think that's all it is. It is not about, I mean, then there is a how, right? The how part is what is different in each of the clouds, how we
Well,
realize it. There are
the
different
JSON,
templates, right? There's
yeah,
heat.
the JSON for a resource for Azure is totally different than the JSON or the heat template for that you use for OpenStack. They're totally different.
But here we are not passing JSONs, right? Here we are talking about a specific
Yeah.
API. Let's talk about this, the next slide where we are talking about this kind of JSONs. This is where we see the difference, okay? But this is related to.
One more question before we move to next slide. Today, VFC is the only orchestrator, I believe, or RAPC calling to this cloud resource level API, but SO doesn't call into cloud resource level API, right? So the assumption is that SO, there would be changes to SO to take advantage of Azure because you are expecting everything to come through this cloud resource level API. Is that assumption right?
Again, this is
No.
a question to SO, but the plan is now, again, it's more related to SO calling, like it calling today, heat like an API. It will call a more generic or a generic API which support all cloud, not only heat.
That's right.
But this is
Maybe we should go to the next slide.
heat style of thing.
Srini, one additional point to note there, it is beyond VFC. For example, even APSI calls VM restart, right? It's a cloud resource level sort of, API. So
Right.
Yeah,
APSI is also involved there.
We'll talk about the flow. I guess it's mainly related to the flow of re of or
Yeah.
resource, of cloud resource orchestration, which is yes, a more
Okay, just a quick
but
question.
FC, sir. Sir,
Hold on,
go ahead.
Avi, if you put that multi-vim plugin as part of the multi-vim so-called adaptation layer, correct?
Yes.
If that plugin, you customize it for a cloud provider, in this case Azure, the same mechanism could be used for other cloud, yeah? Like for Amazon, for Google, or for
I would
whoever.
say the same pattern and the same toolkit, not necessarily, not of course the same implementation, because
No,
in Google,
I mean, I guess
same pattern.
Tracker mentioned that ARM in this case is where that you have the Azure API, because Azure API has to really speak ARM, correct?
Yeah, you can see. Yes, Azure plugin has its own resource model, right? So yes,
So the
this is where
normalized API,
these
the
are the Azure
normalized API, Avi, hold on. The normalized API is common when it comes to a specific cloud provider, which is, by the way, what OOF or I guess OOF is gonna select the right VM. At that point, the cloud provider is responsible for making this translation work. Like you are putting that build and maintained by Microsoft, you can make the same comment for Google, for AWS, for anybody else, correct?
Totally agree, yes.
Okay, so it's a common procedure, different implementation.
Yeah, so I said that in the beginning, this is a proposal for Azure because we want to be specific. But again, we are talking about here because we are coming to the architecture committee to, as a subcommittee, to get to take that and as an, a pattern for all cloud. clouds, including OpenStack, because like I said, currently Heat is have its own flow in SO. So we want to, let's say, converge all cloud interaction into a very normalized set of APIs. And now we are talking about how this API is going to be implemented, which tools and which patterns. Okay, but yes, we want to make it a repeatable pattern, not you know, bespoke for Azure. Yes, no, this is not the intention here.
So go ahead.
Okay.
All right, sorry. No, I'll wait.
So if you allow me, I will go to the next.
Yeah, sure.
The last slide, and then I think, like Sasha said, we'll see all the picture and we can go into details.
Okay.
This is more related to the normalized cloud resource API. Now we talk about the normalized template API, which is essentially what we are want to extend here in this proposal, is to allow, because like I said, now this call will come, for example, from SO. We'll say, okay, now I want to orchestrate a VNF. This VNF, like mentioned before, is selected. That's got a cloud, target cloud selected by OOF in that case. And now this cloud has a specific template. It's not generic, it's specific. So in that case, SO will of course understand this is a specific, and then it will take the specific templates, including the Tosca, the abstract VNF Tosca, and pass it along to the multivim through this API, not through the normalized cloud specific resource API, but through the normalized Tosca API, which expect the opaque artifact. And what we are also proposing is that in for Azure case, we want that the model will not be a Azure a native orchestrator arm, but it will be a ARIA because of a ARIA ability to orchestrate any resource, not only one that's supported by ARM, but if, for instance, you want to capabilities which cannot orchestrate by ARM of Microsoft, we're going to use ARIA. I can also say that we did a poke and show that working using ARIA, calling Azure successfully with the vFirewall vFirewall use case, and we're going to test it also with DNS. So. And then the ARIA engine, given the task, the blueprint, the opaque blueprint from outside, but for the plugin, it's not opaque because you're going to extract it, generate the inputs from the Tosca input he got, from the normalized Tosca input he got, and orchestrate the calls, the specific call to Azure in that case.
So in the prior slide, if the orchestration was done based upon the standard Tosca, presumably north of that multivim, right? And so you could have ARIA up there that's sending down these normalized API calls, I guess, in this first case.
Right.
Right. But in this last case...
In that case, it will be a generic Tosca, yes, that with not cloud specific, yes, it's...
It'd be ARIA up north of multivim orchestrating a generic Tosca. And in this next slide you're showing, it's ARIA orchestrating a cloud-specific artifact that ONAP doesn't understand. It's an opaque right, for the rest of ONAP. Is that right? Okay.
Exactly. Doesn't understand? Yes.
So why...
Abhi, this is what is actually proposed. I mean, I was similar architecture was proposed for the Kubernetes also. I think this is, in my view, could be a good approach. But I think we can kind of collaborate on that definition of that API, normalized template level API, which you mentioned. I was calling in my last presentation, we are calling it as a model-driven API, but naming aside, I guess there is a since both proposals are you know having similar architecture, it's good to collaborate on that API definition.
Yes, exactly. So, this is what the
Yes. In today's environment, SO creates the template, call it stack, right? And once it creates the stack in the Heat format, it sends the stack to the Heat engine on the OpenStack side, and the Heat engine executes the stack fully, right? And it returns back success or failure, right? Now, let's assume that we're going to create the stack using the Tosca format. why wouldn't we still create the stack within SO and then send the stack to multi-vim, and based on what the target cloud is, the multi-vim will do the translation from Tosca to either YAML, JSON, or whatever API calls you want to use.
If I understand correctly, what you're proposing is that SO will support, again, will understand the VNF internals, right? You want that SO will know how to...
It does. Yeah. It does today, right?
Yeah, but, I think it's something where you want to, again, you want that the one component, a multi-vim, or this is, will understand the mapping between a generic requirement for a VNF, let's say a Tosca, to a cloud-specific language, right? So
that's right. And that's the mapping, right? That's the mapping. Yes. Why would you do the orchestration without multi-vim? Let the orchestration should stay within SO. Why would I?
Is not doing the orchestration, right? It is doing the orchestration. The calls, the internal calls. So this is, we are not changing.
Well, I mean, it's semantics, right? But I mean, SO for all
the language between how from the onboarded resources of the VNF translated to set of calls to the cloud. So if today it's.
I understand. Right. Maybe it's semantics, but yeah, I fully agree that OpenStack is doing the orchestration through Heat. Right. But basically, SO is creating your Heat stack, everything that you need to orchestrate a service. Right. Okay. That is a complete package that gets sent to Heat after you've been authenticated, and the Heat engine basically executes the step-by-step process. So you have the service. At the service level, you have the template that actually orchestrates that service. My point is, whether it is generic, whether it is specific to Heat, it doesn't really matter, right? Why wouldn't another approach be the multi-vim layer takes that template and translates it into a YAML or JSON or an API that is understood by Azure, but keep it the same way, one for one mapping between.
So Chaka, that was the previous.
You're saying keep it as a mediation layer.
It is a mediation layer, yeah.
That was the previous slide. This one is saying that there might be some additional artifacts, some additional capabilities that Azure is exposing that ONAP doesn't know about. And so this would be a way for it to come in as an opaque artifact and have ARIA deal with it based on the logic from Azure.
But what is, do we have an example of that, Chris? Because something that ONAP doesn't know about, maybe is something that it should know about?
So Sean from Microsoft gave an example of what was it? SRIOV,
yeah.
SRIOV,
yeah.
Why is that specific? That's just a, that's quite a comment, right?
But yeah, no. So yeah, SRIOV is SRIOV, right? In terms of existing ONAP or ECOMP, SRIOV is supported, right? And the way it gets supported is by specifying a specific flavor of a VM that happens to be attached to a dedicated NIC or virtual NIC that is being used as a dedicated NIC card, right?
I think that all happens south of multi-vim, right? I mean, that in ONAP, that would all happen south of multi-vim.
Just to understand that better, if I'm not mistaken, Azure abstracts SRIOV. It is not exposed as SRIOV. It's more of something like a declarative form of performance, right? That's what Azure exposes to the higher layer, I think.
It doesn't really matter how they expose it.
So here's where the key part, Shakar. I mean, we want to be more and more declarative in ONAP, right? So sort of that's the angle we should go with. I mean, why should we be imperative if there is an option not to be, right?
Right. Actually, Nancy, point, if I understand correctly, I'm sorry, I was multitasking here. If I understand correctly, what Chakri is trying to say is...
Okay, back to your question.
Hang on a second, Praviz. Sishu is talking. Sorry, go ahead, Sishu.
Yeah, so the point which Chakri is trying to make is that the northbound of Multivim, I think we are talking of southbound of Multivim. Southbound of Multivim is a different thing. Maybe we'll take up later. Chakri, you can correct me if I'm, my understanding is right on this, but let me...
No, go ahead.
So what he's trying to say is northbound of Multivim, which is the interface, which Avi has just shown us two interfaces, which one comes from SO to the cloud native, one comes to, for the SO to normalize, right? So Chakar is trying to say, why don't we use the same heat-based thing and let SO be still heat-based stuff and all. It just sends the hot template down to Multivim. Multivim translates to Tosca to whatever cloud specific you wanted. So that way you have only one interface and then Multivim can take over from there. I think then the southbound comes into picture where Aria or whatever, it could be Cloudify, Aria, whatever it is, can do that thing.
I think we're going to limit ourselves, right? So if we go this approach and let's say, minimizing everything or generalizing everything in OpenStack, you know, blocking.
Abhi, I'm just trying to understand one thing. Sorry for interrupting. Chakar, was that your point?
Well, I mean, there is a higher level architecture decision that we need to make, right? It has to encompass the entire ONAP flow. So, just give you an example. I think Ramke made the comment before. AppC is going to request a restart, a VM restart.
Yes.
In today's environment, AppC requests VM restart, which happens to be an event that is placed on the bus that gets picked up by SO. Because AppC doesn't know whether a VNF that is monitoring is instantiated in Cloud 1 or Cloud 2. Right? So when a request to do VM restart goes to SO, SO needs to be smart enough to say, oh, this VM is on Azure, and therefore I need to call the multi-VM for Azure to actually restart that VM on the Azure cloud.
I think I'm not sure how this connects to what we are trying to achieve, but AppC knows directly. AppC recipe doesn't need to go to SO, but
in today's environment.
But I don't think this.
Hang on a second. Sorry. In today's environment, when you orchestrate the service, the orchestration request goes directly to SO. SO orchestrates the request, and then when it's done, it passes the control to the AppC. Now, if you want to change it, that's fine. But I'm just telling you, in today's environment, so AppC gets invoked after SO finishes.
Okay. Isn't the general question you're asking, Shocker? So I thought the whole reason we have a multi-VIM is so that SO wouldn't need to deal with VIM-specific artifacts like heat.
It doesn't. SO doesn't. SO says, let me oversimplify. In today's environment, SO creates the heat stack. Instead of sending the heat stack, if we wanna orchestrate on Azure or on AWS or EC2, right? The stack... At the last, before SO sends the stack to OpenStack, it could conceivably send it to multi-VM Azure. And now the multi-VM will take the stack, it will do the mapping between a heat JSON or YAML to a Azure JSON or YAML or API, and it will send it to Azure.
I think this will... I want to generalize this right to something more generic. So if you would, I understand that you are coming from something that exists today. Let's leverage what currently done by SO and not changing SO and support Azure without affecting SO. Doesn't talk about SO, but you know, our assumption here is that, you know, When a cloud provider, VNF provider will certify VNF, it will best, it will want to use the closest, currently the closest resource model for the cloud is certifying on.
Yes.
And now if you...
I agree. No, no, I mean, yeah.
The, hit and test hit on, you couldn't test hit on, you need to have translation in his environment to make sure the hit is translatable to the one that you want to use on Azure. And if he has option to use a very specific resource on Azure, which is not available on it, he has a problem in modeling it as well. So it's kind of a limiting. It says benefit. I agree with you about the benefit by reusing what exists today, but I'm not sure if this benefit will be okay across, you know, all use cases we can come across.
And exactly. I think to add to Avi's point, so I think the best way to think about is multi-vim is a normalizer for, you know, all the phases, deploy and operate. I mean, we talked about deployment like Chakar so far, right? For operational phase, so basically across different clouds, multi-vim is the one which is normalizing and providing the data, right?
But so for the operation, it's different, right? So
Then you want to keep one place as the normalized data normalizer, right? Correct. I mean, basically, the normalizing the format across different clouds, reconciling the format, the standardizer, right? And that'd be one layer. Why would you want to distribute that function, right, across different, you know, different modules?
But if you have a service that you're creating, right? When we create the service today, at the service design and creation, you are taking into account some of the capabilities that exist on OpenStack. But in most cases, the orchestration is almost a generic process.
No, that you will do only if you need to, right? I mean, basically, if you're using some exclusive capabilities. But what we are also saying is, I mean, it's following the 80-20 rule, 80% case, it's all the same across all the clouds, right? We are not doing anything too exclusive. And exactly. 20% case where there is something exclusive, obviously, it will be exclusive to the cloud, right? Correct. That's always a given, right?
Ramki, in this picture, when you said normalized Tosca, I assume that the normalized Tosca is cloud agnostic, correct?
Yeah.
But it's an abstract.
It has nothing to do with cloud. Then you come to the multi-vim, and the Aria is sitting there. It can handle any cloud. Avi, that's what you said, versus Azure in the previous slide can only do Azure ARM. Aria is like, can do more, can do AWS, can do Google or whatever, correct?
Aria is an engine, yes, but in that case, in here, we are talking about Aria for Azure only, meaning this Aria is handling Azure. I think the Aria is not the focus here, is the language we're going to talk with this plugin, right? So I think Aria is not it's a mean to an end, meaning it's an engine that can translate a template to set of calls to orchestrate it. But I think the what we are maybe debating more now is what is the language which the multi-vim will expose to the northbound for how to orchestrate the VNF. So I heard, let's use HIT as this language. Let's use only Tosca, also it's an option. What we are proposing, it's kind of a mix between the two. It's a Tosca for describing the header of the VNFs and the abstract part of it. So, you know, it can connect to a service model and to get the correct assignment from the network, etc. But in addition, to support, all type of VNFs and not only the one that can be done generically, it will contain an OPEC object, which will be known only by the plugin of the cloud, meaning for an OpenStack, the OPEC can be only hit, and the OpenStack plugin will take this hit and send it to an hit engine. But for Azure, it will use Aria. It can. Yes.
Avi, can you pass like HPA capability through this, or that is blocked there?
No, again, if the HPA capabilities are decoded to a Aria plugin, right? No problem. You know, it's cloud specific, and in that case, the homing will provide you, of course, the correct home to a VM region which support this HPA capabilities, and it will work.
Hey guys, I wonder if I can chime in for a second. As you know, I'm one of the main developers of ARIA, for those who don't know, now know. So I really wonder if all of this...
Tal, you are known everywhere. Don't worry about you.
Thank you.
We don't know.
So,
you don't require introduction, at least. You don't require introduction in this community, I mean.
Well, my comment here, well, there's a whole bunch I can say about this. But first, I want to ask really if any of this work with ARIA has been done yet, because I haven't seen it coming in.
No.
It was done in a, like I say, mentioned in this session, it was done as a POC, which we done through Azure. It's not contributed yet. And there's a plan, and one of the reasons we are you know, discussing here is our proposal, not only for you know, talking about it, but also to contribute this ARIA implementation. Oh, it's, we are not talking about ARIA implementation, but a blueprint implementation on top of ARIA to MultiVim, to seed code this plugin, and to you know, implement how this plugin will use ARIA for orchestrating this. Now, specifically here, the Azure VNF on Azure.
Abhi, if I may, please.
But it's a generic ARIA, nothing special, right? So.
Hello, Abhi, can you hear me? Abhi.
Yeah, no. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. See, I have a. I like what you're saying here, but I think I don't understand the complete picture here. Two things I want to understand is design time flows, which are to be understood. The second thing is how is the interaction of that SBI or the NBI from the SO, VFC, and all? How can they be generic? So that part is not clear to me because the placement of ARIA is not yet clear for us. I think Gil also knows this. We have been discussing, you, me, and Gil are there in these discussions on SO side also. So that is one part which is from top to down, which is like how the information transfer will happen from design time to runtime and how SO will interact with MultiVim. That part is not yet clear.
The second that was my question as well. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. The second point which I have is the response part, right? Once we get from MultiVim, I think this is what I have to, I think Ramki was also trying to address it sometime before. The problem is the response part which we are getting from the SO. Right now, SO is directly interacting with OpenStack and we are updating the ANAI. But we want to have that move to MultiVim, right? That's that one point which we want to have. So that part is not clear yet. So these two are, I mean, we are talking of a localized problem. I understand it's good. I like what you're saying here because it also solves the problem which we are trying to solve from Kubernetes part. I think Srini also added to that. But then without understanding the holistic picture, I think we will again end up in the same situation which we have been, you know, we say it's a vicious circle which we are in, right? So okay. Can we have this, my suggestion to you would be, can we have this a little more, I mean, right on from localized problem, can we take it more a, maybe an eagle's eye point of view where we involve other components also and interactions between them. Because as a box, it looks good for VFC, SO, or APSI and other components interacting with MultiVim. But then that the generic interface which you define there should be very, very specific of...
totally agree. All of this,
yeah, right? Yeah,
so I totally agree. And no doubt much, you know, the devil is in the details and there are more many details.
No, I think
on the good question, so, Sheshu. On this latter second question, I think I believe we should probably still continue, keep it simple, and then let SO is still managing the workflow, right? Is looking at a normalized workflow, update ANAI, keep it simple. Right. That's what I think.
Exactly, Ramki. That's my point too. See, we are trying to have top down approach as well as response. Request and response, if we can have one flow. Maybe a flow diagram or a sequence diagram, anything is fine, but we require those two because we want to understand who will update inventory, both from the capability point of view, when you have a new VM or new cloud added, then how the OF will be able to get that information, the capacity part I'm talking about with for homing and all that. And then again, thing is the response part, once we get, how does ANAI get inventory get updated? These two is what we want to understand from the end-to-end perspective.
So from the design time answer. So I think the assumption here is that the opaque artifact. So okay, when would you use this, right? So you've got a VNF vendor who's certified their VNF to run on a cloud, and they want to use some. The assumption here is that there are some cloud specific capabilities that the cloud, you know, exposes that they want to leverage, right? And these are capabilities that presumably aren't you know, spelled out in the generic Tosca, or else we would have used the other slide, right? So there's a lot of assumptions here, right? So you've got a cloud-specific capability, you've got a VNF vendor who's certified their VNF to run that cloud, and they've provided themselves a opaque artifact, a template that's in that cloud's language that can utilize that specific capability. They've provided that to ONAP. Now to ONAP, that's opaque. It doesn't know what's inside of it. So there also has to be, the vendor has to also be responsible for giving ONAP a Tosca representation of the same VNF, the VMs, what are the connection points that need to be signed, et cetera. And I think that's the normalized Tosca. But presumably ONAP doesn't need to do anything to orchestrate anything special for the VNF vendor to use this cloud-specific capability. It's all contained in that opaque artifact. So all ONAP needs to do is orchestrate the VNF as it typically does, getting assignments, et cetera, pass those assignments with this opaque artifact through MultiVim, and then something south of MultiVim, either a plugin or in the heat case, the cloud itself could take that thing and orchestrate it.
One point about that, Gil, I think it's mentioned by Chaker, is there is some knowledge required to be, I think it was Chaker, about parsing the opaque by the SO, meaning, for instance, for homing. Let's say this cloud requires very special hardware, which need to be home to the cloud, then its orchestrator or OF need to know about it, right? And to home it correctly. So
that's right.
Some of the artifacts from inside this opaque has to be somehow modeled
The opaque artifact doesn't. All you need to do that is, we've already got I thought we already have a capability whereby a cloud can advertise its capabilities through MultiVim. Yes. And a VNF vendor can describe in a normalized way
the capability.
But we need to expand a little bit more, right? So let's say, for example, the IP address block that we would need to connect the VNFs together, and the IP address that we need to expose to the internet, so ONAP can access the VNFs in Azure are key components of how the service gets orchestrated.
And that would be represented in the Tosca. Of course, it would be duplicated in the opaque artifact, I'm sure. But ONAP would do its orchestration based upon a normalized representation of that. There's nothing specific about an IP address or a connection point. All that can be abstracted out into the Tosca.
If it is being orchestrated in Azure, then you're dealing with the Azure IP address block, not the company internal IP address block.
You mean for internal connection points? Yeah. So you're right. So the internal connection points would be in the opaque only, but not in the normalized, because ONAP doesn't need to know about internal connection points, right?
So generalize it though. Let's move it up one level, right? Mm-hmm. When you orchestrate a VNF or a service on a different cloud, the assumption is, from anyone, including the service providers and customers and so on and so forth, that once you finish the orchestration, that all the components within ONAP have access to that VNF or those VNFs that you orchestrated in Azure, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When a VNF gets orchestrated in Azure or in AWS for that matter, your external interface has an assigned API, an IP address.
Mm-hmm.
My point is, how are you going to take that IP address, bring it back into ONAP, inventory it, so now the APIs within the AppC can use it to access the individual VNFs?
So any IP address that's visible to ONAP needs to be in the normalized Tosca so that ONAP can orchestrate and be aware of it, either to retrieve it, know to retrieve it, or know to assign it.
I'm not making myself clear though, right? Okay. You don't have access, nor do you have control over what IP addresses get assigned to the external interfaces of the VNFs that are
the value itself on Azure. No, yeah, I know, but okay, but ONAP needs to be aware that the IP address exists, the need for the IP address, the ONM IP or whatever IP we're talking about. ONAP needs to know that the tag exists and it needs to know that it's not going to assign the value for that tag. It's going to delegate the assignment of that tag value to the cloud, and then ONAP needs to know it needs to go get that value from the cloud so that it can update ANAI with it.
So but all ONAP that is aware a of different, that. I understand. This is all different processing, right? It's all, the devil is in the details, but the details over here are critical to make sure that you don't break the ONAP flow.
You wouldn't the opaque artifact. So basically, ONAP's being orchestrated from an SDC model, the way it always is, right? So ONAP has to have access to that model. What this says is that there's also the opportunity for a vendor to provide an opaque artifact that ONAP doesn't need to be aware of, and that opaque artifact can just be passed down to the cloud itself or to a plugin. So it can be orchestrated either by the cloud, as is the case for an OpenStack heat template, or by a plugin. In the case if it's a you know, if it's something reasonable, we aren't going to put OpenStack in a multi-vim plugin and have multi-vim plugin orchestrate it. You know, but if it's something that can be orchestrated by an ARIA, like a Blueprint or something like that, then you could the cloud provider can build their plugin with a toolkit and orchestrate it there. Does that make sense, Chuck? Or?
Well, I mean, I'm going to take it offline. I'll join the subgroup, discussion. But there is a chicken or the egg type of question over here in terms of how the multi-vim, excuse me, how do you interface to not only Azure, but OpenStack? How do you get back the cloud-specific external IP addresses? How do you inventory them into ANAI? How do you map tags to service instances within ANAI? All these details do matter.
Yeah, that's no doubt.
Hey, right. So just a time check. We are up at the top of the hour. I think we have to wrap up for today. I would like to, it sounds like we need more discussion on this. So I'd like to invite the team back to a future call, or a good place to do it, as Steve mentioned, would be the face-to-face in 2 weeks, if you're available for that. So let's follow up offline, and I will get this scheduled. I think this has been a good discussion, but I think we need some more work to resolve it.
Yeah.
Chris,
yeah.
One quick point on this. I understand this request for the discussion, but if you are taking it in the face-to-face, will there be provision for people outside who are not attending it to be able to attend that meeting?
Yeah. I'm not planning to go to this face-to-face. I think we'll take it. Let's. I think we need to set some meeting between guys who had the question here, Sesh, to Chucker, Ramki, Srini, and decide the next steps. How to get all the requirements. Work with the Kubernetes team as well and see how we can advance.
Sounds good.
Perhaps we can also discuss in our multi-vim weekly meetings, with the community, I think.
I think it's a question bigger than multi-vim. I think that was the point, actually. It needs to be...
No. So what we're saying is, like, I mean, get some more information, right? Like, some of the details, right?
Yes.
Can we have a separate call on this? Where even I think Tal is one key point.
Tal attends a multi-vim. That's what I was thinking. Like basically, Tal is very much a key participant there. So
Okay. Now I know why.
Are you talking about 5 p.m. 5 p.m. PST meeting? Is that multi-vim?
Right, Srini. Yeah.
On Fridays.
The coming week.
That's
no,
Friday.
This is on Monday. Every Monday. Yeah. As thinking the coming Monday.
Okay. What time, Ramki, is the meeting? Sorry.
So this is at 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Okay.
Oh my God, that should be 5 p.m. 5 a.m. my time.
That's good.
I know. It's hard to keep everybody happy, right? So that's a challenge with ONAP.
Let's start it here.
Who's the least unhappy?
It's 3 a.m. For me, it's 3 a.m., even not 5. It's
yes, like, exactly.
Avi also it's tough, then we'll have a separate meeting on this. I'll talk to our PTL today. We'll have our PTL, then a few folks like Thal, and also have Wind River, right? Bin Yang, a few key folks, and move this forward quickly.
Okay.
Okay.
Please send the invite to the architecture list, but that's would be 2 a.m. Eastern Standard for me. I mean,
Okay. We'll have to find. Yeah, I guess then it's the morning time, right? Some early Pacific, then that's the only other option, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you all.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye.